Hello, friends. This is Kelly with the Reachers Podcast. Today is Friday. I don't know what time it is, but it is Friday here in North Georgia. I got home real early last night. The last couple of days, I've been having long trips. I haven't been able to do anything. I skipped out one of my daily devotions that I do on Facebook and Instagram. Well, I'm trying to do some catch-up here. So I know I've been really light on these podcasts. It's pretty hard to do a podcast by yourself. You know, you're the one that's got to come up with all the information, all the topics. You're the only one that can talk. Man, you can barely drink a glass of water when you need one because you don't want to have that delay time. So just know, bear with me, I'm by myself. I know it's kind of odd to have a solo podcaster, but hey, there's nobody here in my area that I have got to interview. I can't do things over the phone because I live in the boonies. I cannot get any service on my telephone. And believe me, you ask the Alan and Bill and Alan from the for their podcast, the Beyond Belief podcast, Grace Works, we dropped about 6 or 7 calls, and bless him, because now I know how hard it is to edit your podcast. So, Bill, you are a genius. So that's a shout-out for the Beyond Belief podcast that I was on. And, boy, it's hard. This is hard work, folks. Hats off to y'all. So enough about that. A lot of people, this is your first time ever tuning in to the Reachers Podcast. Like I said, my name is Kelly Hensley. I am a truck driver, a father of 2 girls, a husband, and, I am a Reacher. I have a ministry called As You Go Ministry, which I try to promote on Instagram and Facebook, now on here. So and that's what got me started with this. I wanted to reach more people. And I wanted more of a platform to reach people. You know, this is just a tool for me. It's not for me to be famous. It's just for me to reach people for the glory of the kingdom of God in heaven. You know, I want to tell people about Jesus. So I may have told you one time that I want to be an Andrew. You know, I'm not a good Peter or a Paul or any of the other apostles. But Andrew, man, he done the thing that anybody can do. He went out and got people and brought them to Jesus. That was his job. That's what he did. He wasn't talked about a lot in the Bible. He just went out, got people, brought them to Jesus. And that's what I want to be. I think that's something simple that we all can do. You know, a lot of people think they don't have any kind of gifts or any kind of talent, any kind of ability to go reach people for the gospel. It's as simple as just telling somebody about Jesus. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about Jesus. The whole Bible is about Jesus. From the very first word in the beginning, Jesus says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, and to the very last amen, which is agreement of God. So, today's episode, I like to say, or I like to label it, or call it My Pain, His Gain. My Pain, His Gain. About a week ago, last Monday, I injured myself at work doing something I've done, you know, probably 1,000 times. It is a tedious thing. People think truck drivers, all we do is hold a steering wheel. That is not correct. You have to get out and do manual labor as well. At Southeastern Freight Lines, we move doubles. We call them sets, pups, twins, whatever, wiggle wagons. A lot of people see us wiggling up the road, and, you know, we're doing our best to hold them still. We can hold the front end. It's that rear end of the trailer that keeps on moving. And that's because, you know, some people might have misloaded some freight, shifted a little bit or whatnot. It can be a number of reasons. Could be the type of dolly. Dolly's heavy or something like that. It's just a number of reasons cause those things to wiggle. But that's just not what I want to talk about. I want to talk about I got injured. And I want to talk about my pain and I'm talking about his game. And I'm going to be brief about it. Those dollies weigh about 2,000 pounds. And a dolly is something that hooks two sets, two twins together, two pups, 28-foot trailers together. They're heavy. And if you're not on level ground, they're going to move to the least, the lowest point. Let's put it that way. They're going to move to the lowest point. And the lowest point just so happened to be towards me. And I'm about 190 pounds between me and the dolly in my truck. I try to move the dolly with my brute strength, and the dolly won. And my arm got popped, and it just didn't work right. I did okay. I went all the way to Columbia, South Carolina. That's about 292 miles, then 292 miles back. So that's 584 miles. And I made it to Columbia, and it was kind of getting sore. It didn't feel too good. By the time I made it back to Dalton, Georgia, my home terminal, I couldn't move my arm. I couldn't steer with that arm. So I definitely had to go get it checked out. Of course, when it happened, I always, if you ever feel any kind of crack, pop, anything didn't feel right, you tell your supervisor. So I told my supervisor before I left, I said, hey, I'm just going to let you know, just in case I wake up in the morning and I can't move my arm, I might have injured myself out there. So I told the person that I need to tell that I might have got injured, and he did an accident report. But the time I got back, of course, I needed to go see, I needed medical help. I needed to seek medical opinions. So I went to the doctor, and that's after driving 584 miles at night. You're already tired. Then you have to go to the doctor's office and sit there for about 2 hours in a waiting room with other people that's already tired that are not happy because they're sick. And it wasn't going to be a good situation. You know, I was going to have to turn a bad situation into a glad situation. And there's only one way that I know how to do it. You know, I wasn't really wanting to tell jokes or anything. So I, you know, everywhere I go, like I said, I don't own anything. I do a ministry called As You Go Ministry, and that's a track ministry. I give out tracks. I make these cross necklaces. They're made out of aluminum and stuff like that. They're not very expensive to put together, but they look pretty cool once I get them together and I get the tracks put on them and stuff like that. They're very presentable, and a lot of people like them. I get a very, very few people that reject it, but most people are very happily to receive it. And that makes me happy that someone will receive the gospel. And that's the whole point across the gift. You know, the cross necklace is a gift for me, but what is on that cross, what's behind that cross, stapled to that cross, is the Word of God. And that's the gift to man and women, everyone. All sinners has got a free gift of the gospel, that Christ died on our behalf. Christ paid our wages of sin. We earned a wage, and God pays us our wages in death. So it's a pretty cheerful thing. You know, that's why they call it good news. Good news that anyone, whosoever will receive this message, receive the message of Jesus Christ, will be saved. Man, You're set free. It's like you're going to a court hearing, and you're guilty as charged, and you know you're guilty. The jurors know you're guilty. The judge even knows you're guilty. But then you go up to the judge, and you say, hey, I know I did this, but I'm very sorry. I'll never do it again. And if that judge was a righteous judge, he will look you straight in the eye and say this, I know you will not do this again, because I'm going to lock you up and I'm going to throw away the key. You understand what I'm saying here? You can't just go to God and say you're sorry for what you have done and you'll never do it again. That's a works-based religion. And work-based does not work when it comes to God. It's not a work-based. It's a faith and trust in Jesus based religion. You got to trust in Him and Him alone. That's why God sent Him. He didn't send Jesus to die on a cross so that we can go and boast about our goodness. He sent Jesus to die on a cross, that we will accept Jesus as our payment for our sin. That's what the gospel is. We receive the payment of our sin and through Jesus' death. He paid our price. And when we accept that, we will be saved. That's what the Bible says. We will be saved. But here I am in a bad situation, in pain, amongst people who were in pain. But I got to bring great joy into the room by giving the great joy of God's free gift of salvation through faith and trust in Jesus. That's something special, folks. You know, it took my situation, which I wasn't happy about because I knew I wouldn't be able to go to work. I knew that the doctor's going to say, hey, you're going to have to be out on a short term or whatever. And that's not a happy feeling. So I wasn't very joyful about the situation, but I was very joyful about the outcome. You know, you don't have to be down and out on your situation when there's a great outcome on the other end. And a lot of us, we don't know it. We don't know the outcome of the situation or the trials and tribulations that we're put in. But I'm going to tell you this right here. The Bible does say this. You know, in this world, you will have trouble. You will have tribulation. But take heart. I have overcame the world. That's what Jesus said. I have overcame your trials and tribulation. You don't have to worry about it. It's paid in full. You're taken care of. Put your faith in that. That's why I used to fear death. I used to fear death. I was worried about the pain. I was worried about leaving my family. What's going to happen if I die? Who's going to do this or that? Man, now I'm peace, man. I got the peace and understanding that God's got it. He's got it. You know, I'm not promised tomorrow. I'm not promised right now. But I know who holds that promise and who holds my future. And that's in Jesus Christ. It's sealed, son. It's sealed. There's nobody going to take that away from me. It's done. And when God does it, it don't have to be done again. When God does something, it's done for eternity. So I'm going to put my faith and trust in that. Y'all can put your faith and trust in whatever, but I'm putting my faith and trust in what God said, that I am sealed till the end, and the end's forever. So I'm talking about my injury. My injury, you know, I couldn't really move my arm. The doctor put me on short-term or really light duty. He put me on light duty, and I go back to work. I was like, here you go, light duty. Find me something to do that is light. Well, a little secret. It's not really a big secret in the trucking world. There's nothing light and easy in trucking. Everything takes a little bit of lifting and pushing and pulling. So they said, man, we don't have light duty here. You're going to have to stay at home. I'm like, okay, I guess that's all right. So for a week, I had to stay home. And for somebody, it's worked since they're 15 years old. And you happen to stay home and you don't know when you're going to be able to come back. You're right there on your back, son. You're on your back. You're looking up and you're asking why. Why this happened, Lord? Why does this happen to me? And a lot of people do that. And God don't really owe us a explanation. He doesn't. He don't owe us nothing. He's already done everything he could for us. But he loves us, and his ways are far greater than our ways, and his understanding is far greater than our understanding. And even the Bible says, you know, lean not on your own understanding, but trust in God and the Word fully. I kind of messed that verse up. I should have probably looked that up before I came on with that one. That just came on out of the blue. That was free, and you don't owe me nothing for it. So, but, you know, there's one thing I probably could have done different. I'll go back to the injury. I'm sorry. I've got some notes here because if I don't, I'm going to go all over the board. Okay, I told you how that happened, my injury. Let's go back to that. How my injury happened. I was trying to keep a dolly from going forward, and I was trying to hold it with my arm and push it with my other arm, push the wheel. Sometimes you can roll the wheel and you can get leverage. Well, I guess the angle of my arm, and I wasn't letting go, it wasn't going to stop. And, you know, I thought I was going to manhandle it, and it won. You know, weight always wins when it comes to gravity. So gravity won. But I'm going to tell you this right here. I can always avoid that. My safety man called me. He's like, hey, Kelly, you know I have to ask you this, but how can you avoid it? I said, for one thing, I'm going to let that dolly do what the dolly's going to do. And he said, right on. He said, we can't sacrifice our bodies for this place, man. We gotta be healthy. We can't service our customers and our family injured. And he's right, because it affects a lot of people. It affects, you know, your wife, your daughters, my coworkers, man. They had a you know, carry the weight of me not being there. So they had to find somebody to take that extra run or to fill in for me or make that hook that I couldn't do. And they continue to have to do that. I hadn't been able to make a hook two trailers together since the incident. I got somebody hooking it for me. So, you know, I added extra work for somebody because of my injury. But there's a way to avoid it. You know, I probably skipped a step or two. I don't have to push that thing back. I could have got out and moved a leg. We got these little legs on the front of our twins to keep them from tilting over. They're anti-tilt legs. So if somebody overweighs the front end, it won't tilt over and flip that twin. I've seen them flip before where somebody didn't put the leg down. So you have to lift it up. Then you can back that dolly up all the way to your rear trailer, which is going to be lighter than the one hooked to your truck. So, but what I can do, instead of getting out and trying to push it and be a he-man, I'm 44 years old. I'm not 22 years old no more. That was 22 years ago stuff. I can't do that no more. 44, I got to know my boundaries. I cannot push 2,000 pounds no more. So I can get out and back that thing up with my truck. So that's going to happen. That's going to be the new procedure from now on. Keep that from happening. But like I said, the outcome of that injury, it affects a lot of people. It affects my company. They had to pay for my doctor's visit. They had to pay for, let's see here. They didn't pay me a dime. I was out for 7 days. They didn't pay me nothing for being out, being injured. So they don't owe me that, but they do owe for the doctor's visits. And they paid for, I believe, my insurance for that week for not being there. So they did pay my insurance. And I think that's all they paid. But like I said, but it cost them some money. And cost them a guy being out there. You know, it cost me too, man. It cost me pain. I was in a little bit of pain. I wasn't 100%. And if you don't know something about me, I love cutting firewood. I'm crazy. I'm just weird like that. I cut firewood. When at home, we heat with wood, and I don't really cut it to sell. I just cut it because we got trees and they're down. God makes the trees fall. I go cut them up and make firewood out of it. So he heats us twice, heats me twice, heats me while I work the wood up, then heats my family while the wood's in a fireplace. So, you know, I get blessed that way. But, you know, I didn't get to do that, and I haven't done it yet. I hadn't done it since. So I'm afraid I'm going to re-injure that arm. So it cost me time of something I love to do, which is cutting firewood. You know, it causes me a little bit of depression because, hey, I'm the breadwinner. Men are made to work, folks. Men are made for work. It's part of the curse of the garden there. You know, we have to work the land. That's our deal. Women's going to have painful childbirth, and we're going to work the land. But you know what? It's a great joy for me to be able to go out and provide for my family. You know, I know God provides for us. I know all the provision comes from Him, but He allows me to go along with it, to be a part of it. So that's something that, you know, I take a little pride in. You know, I know pride's a bad thing, but, you know, it's as long as you don't take it to the next level, I think pride's a pretty good thing as well. You know, kind of makes you a dedicated father, a dedicated husband, a dedicated worker, you know, a dedicated brother, a dedicated friend. How many friends you got that will come and help you throw some wood, or if you're in some kind of trouble, they'll come over and work for you, alongside you, free of charge. You know, not a lot of people do that these days. They used to do that in old barn raising days, but now everybody's lazy. You know, they have no pride in themselves. So too much pride is the fall, but you need a little bit to keep yourself going. You know, it should be a joyful thing for you to go and work and earn what you've been given, and just show God gratitude of everything He's done in your life. Because I'm going to tell you, in a blink of an eye, it can be taken away. One week of not working. It's tough around Christmas time. You skip a paycheck. You skip a paycheck, and you know what? Your wife is going to tell you it's okay. But deep down, it's not okay. You know, she's hurt. My kids are hurt. They might not be able to do the things that they wanted to do. But I'm not trying to put a sad, soppy story out here. I'm just letting you know what a mistake in your life could affect everybody. It gave me a little bit of decrease in self-worth. You know, I feel like I'm nothing. I don't feel like I'm pulling my weight around this house. I feel like I let my work friends down. I let my wife down, my kids down, I let myself down, you know, for one thing. But, and it also, that comes along with a little bit of anxiety. So the whole time, I'm having a little bit of anxiety over, am I going to get to go to work? Am I going to get 100%? Is something going to happen when I get out there that it'll cause me to have an accident and I'll be charged with it, and they'll take my family farm away from my family? So a lot of stuff. The what ifs what gets me. I shouldn't even think about them, you know. Even the Bible says, "Don't be anxious about nothing, man." You go to God with everything, with supplication and prayer. So I don't know why I got that. The devil gets you down, man. I definitely got to be a person that's got to be busy. If I'm not busy, I start thinking, and that's a bad thing for me to do, is to think. And it also gave me a little bit of anger towards my workplace, you know. They didn't cause the accident, but I'm like, well, you know what? I keep on thinking this. The devil's putting this in my heart. You got injured at work, and they didn't pay you nothing. You get hurt on their place doing things for them, and they didn't even lift a finger to help you while you was down. They didn't even let you work in the office or anything. So I was kind of getting a little angry with my workplace, and it wasn't really rightful anger. You know, like I said, they didn't cause the accident. You know, they only done what the state of Georgia is required for them to do. In the state of Georgia, you have to be out for 7 days before they pay you. I went to back work on the seventh day, so I should be happy. And I was happy. I'm going to tell you, you stay around your wife and your kids for a long time, when you're a person that worked all the time, you're not around a lot, everybody starts rubbing on each other the wrong way. You know, my wife was ready for me to go to work. She told me, if you're out another week, you're going to have to go outside and do something, because I can't sit here and take your worrying and your what is. So I was bringing my wife down. I was probably bringing my daughters down. So, you know, there's a lot of bad things happen when the devil's trying to put a monkey wrench in your daily life. You know, I feel like this is an attack on me. You know, I think the devil is trying to attack me, trying to push me down. He knows my buttons. He knows what gets me. He knows where my mind goes and how I think, how I react. Like I said, this anger thing, you know what? I went for a long time without being angry. I used to be an angry person until I met the Lord, until the Lord actually put some work on me. I'm not saying I wasn't always, like, I ain't saying I was an angel all the time. You know, ask my wife, you want to know the true person of how a man really is, you ask their spouse and their kids. Because my spouse and my kids will tell you some things about me. I am not perfect. I am just somebody that God is working on, sanctifying, molding, shaping into the very image of His Son. And I fail. Believe me, I've seen myself fail. And I've seen myself fall good. So, but that was that, you know. Not this Monday, but the last Monday, I was injured, out for a week. there's some good things that came out of this deal. I'll probably run. I don't remember what I was talking about. Just seeing, I tried to do this before and I had a mistake and I just erased it. I'm kind of glad I did, but I kind of forgot what I was talking about on another one. So I wrote everything down. But there's an outcome from this event that happened in my life. You know, there's an outcome for the kingdom of God. You know, the bad is sometimes God's way of showing his love towards us and showing us that we can't do it, but he can. If we put our faith and trust in him, he will be able to do something far greater than we can ever imagine. And he did that. He did that through this injury, my time off, and he gave me ability to do some things that I didn't get to do or I neglected as I was working and I was cutting firewood and doing the daily devotions through Facebook and Instagram. So he got me to, I was dead empty of my tracks. And I was getting a little lazy on drilling out the crosses and putting all that stuff. I'm going to tell you, man, I probably put together 400 while I was out. About 400 tracks while I was out. And some great things happened. I don't know if I said this before. If I repeat something, I'm sorry. Like I said, I'd done this before. Something happened through my recorder, and I had to erase it. So if I repeat this, forgive me. There's some things that there's some great outcomes that came out of my injury. So my pain, his gain. One of them, I got to share with the doctor's office. So, you know, 2 hours, like I said, I think I already said this once, for 2 hours I was there, and I was locked in with these people. They wasn't going nowhere. And here I am with a sack full of tracks. Well, I had a handful of them, but I had a lot of them in my truck. And that's one thing about being a ministry. Always, always have ammunition with you. Be ready at all times to be able to give out the good news of Jesus Christ. Be ready. And that's the number one thing I can tell you about being a minister of God. Be ready to give an answer, okay? And this is my way of being ready. I had a whole sack full of tracks, and I'm thankful for this. And I got a handful of them. I walked in there. The waiting room was packed full. I have no shame in my game. I will stop at each person and hand them a track. And I'll call them. I'll say, hey, friend, did I give you one of these? And it's just certain little things I do. I say, hey, have you ever got one of these? Have you ever seen one of these? And I give them that. It's an easy thing to do. It's the easiest form of spreading the gospel there is. I've tried everything, folks, when it comes to being a servant of the Lord. I've tried playing guitar on a worship band. I don't know. I don't think I fit there. But I tried being a Sunday school teacher, and I'm good on a pinch. You know, somebody needs a fill-in, I can fill in, but I'm not 100%. I'm not a person that can do it full-time. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you're out one day, I can fill in for you, but I'm not a full-time Sunday school teacher. That's not my calling. I love the youth. I love who I was teaching to. I love who I was talking about, but I'm just not that gifted on that thing. You know, that's just not it's just not what God has called me to do. I've tried doing a layman's revival. A layman's revival is somebody that loves the Lord, but is not called to be a pastor. And I preached a revival one night, and I'm going to tell you, I think I failed on that one too, but they might have had some good points, you know, they might have had one or two amens, but I'm not called to hold a church at the moment. You know, I'm not saying I won't ever be called to hold a church, but as of right now, God has not called me into that. That's just not my calling. But I'm going to tell you the one thing that I know I fit at, the one thing that God has called me to do. I mean, there's probably more than that. I'm just saying this one right here fits. I am called to be a street minister or a cedar of Christ. I'm not saying I'm going to be called to be a street preacher, which I'm going to talk about that here a little bit later. But I'm called to be a cedar for Christ, and it's a fit. I fit it. You know, I feel comfortable out there one-on-one. I can go up to anybody. I don't care what the character looks like. There ain't no shade that I try to avoid. I love everybody. Neapolitan of spreaders. I go to everybody. I don't care what their colors are, their minority is, gender. I don't care if you don't know what your gender is. I don't care. All I know is you have not got this tracked yet. That's all I know. I have not gave you one of these, and you are on my list. So that right there, I fit. I can do this. That's something that I know I can do. And a lot of people feel like they can't do it. And I know a pastor just don't understand why everybody can't preach. A piano player don't understand why everybody can't piano. I can do it all the time. A great singer's like, I can sing. I don't know why you can't sing. I know that. You know, it's a gift. God gives us gifts, and that's my gift. I might not be a very gifted podcaster. I know two of them that are very gifted, Mr. Bill and Alan and their podcast. But and there's some other ones too. I shouldn't probably name names right there because I'm going to leave somebody out. But there's a lot of gifted people that can do a lot of great things. And you just got to get out there and figure out where you fit. Figure out where you fit and run after it, folks. Run after it. Do it with all your might, all your strength, all your heart, like you love God. You know, Jesus said to love God with all your mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbors as yourself. Well, you're fulfilling the law when you share the gospel with everybody you see, and you love everybody you see. So that's one good thing that came out of the injury. I got to go to the doctor's office. I got to spread the gospel at the doctor's office. And my wife being out the next night, she wanted to go get a Christmas tree for our porch, a live Christmas tree for our front porch. We live in the woods, folks. Nobody sees our house. But my wife knows what she wants, and God knows how to get me to the place where he wants me to go. First, I got an injury, you know. I think all things got to go through God. Like if you ever read the book of Job, God says, hey, man, have you seen my servant Job? There's none like him. And the devil says, hey, man, if you take everything away from him, he's going to curse the day he was born. He said, well, all right, you can't kill him. So God sets boundaries where the devil can't do stuff. I ain't going to give the devil credit for anything. My injury in my arm, devil, you ain't get the credit. So the outcome that I have, my anxiety, you're not getting credit. My depression, devil, you ain't getting the credit. It's all God and God's glory. He's getting the glory out of everything that comes through me and to me, around me. And I'm just going to give God the glory for all things. And even this, so because he knew what he was doing, because I'm going to tell you about the Dollar Tree visit. You know, I went to Home Depot and got that tree. Live tree. It's a beautiful tree. But I got the live tree. The lady that checked me out, she knows who I am. I probably gave her numerous of tracks, so I didn't have any tracks with me. I forgot. I didn't take them with me. They was in my truck. I didn't have them in my pocket. And that's the number two rule of being a cedar for Christ. If you want to be a cedar for Christ, you got to have the ammunition, but you got to have it on you. You can't just walk around without anything on you unless you're going to speak the gospel to these folks, which that can be exhausting if you talk to everybody one-on-one, but you can do it. You can do it. I ain't saying it can't be done, but I'm going to tell you, it can't be done with your wife there because she's ready to go. You know, it's got to be a bailing out. You got to be someone that's going to be throwing out tracks and throwing them out fast because you got a little time when you're with your wife. So we went to Home Depot. I know I'm going fast. I got to get all this in. I don't want it to be 2 hours long. So we went to the Home Depot, got the tree. Of course, you get a tree. You can't go to the Home Depot and get the decorations, man, because it's too expensive. You got to go to the Dollar Tree. Yay, the Dollar Tree has got all the decorations for a dollar. So perfect match. So we went to the Dollar Tree. And I'm like, I ain't leaving out these folks in here now. So I grabbed as many as I can of my tracks. We went to Dollar Tree, gave them out before I even got to the door, son. And Well, I might have got in there a little bit and handed them out. But the word got out about those tracks in the Dollar Tree, and I had two ladies cornering me. She's like, we would like some. We would like some. I said, oh, man. I ran out. I've got some in my truck. My wife's got my keys. Let me go run out there and find her. So I got the keys from my wife, went back to my truck. And I tell you what, that bag's got over 100 in it. It's got 100-plus tracks in there. So I'm like, man, I'll get out. I'll give out a couple more. No. This is the part I really didn't make it to the door. I gave them all out before I made them to make it to the door. And these folks were like getting as many as they can possibly hold. One lady was talking about she's from a recovery thing from the City of Refuge in Calhoun, that she says she'll love to give them out to the people in the recovery. I was like, man, that's perfect. That's perfect. You're helping me out. Take as many as you like. Take as many as you like. And I have another lady who got as many. She got a pretty good bit. She's going to Kentucky Project, I believe, next week. And she actually gave me her number and requested more. She wanted about 50 more. So I said, hey, I had to go get the house to get them. I had to make some, and I'll call you when I get them all made. Well, I got to the house. Thank God, I already had about 50 of them made. So glory to God, I already had it prepared. And I called her up. I said, hey, your order is ready. So I met her son halfway because we lived on the other side of the county. Met her halfway, gave her the son. And I'm going to tell you, I might be going too fast with this story, but about a day or two later, she sent me a message. She said, hey, Kelly, this is so-and-so. We met at the Dollar Tree. You gave me the tracks. Can we possibly get 4 bags of those? So that's about 200 and something more. I'm like, that's what I'm going to tell you. I'm a one-man operation, and I make every one of these. Let me see what I can do. I got to speak to the church on a Saturday about this ministry. I'll see if I can get somebody to help. Well, I went to work. I made as many as I can. I made, all that I had, all the supplies I had. I about ran out and hadn't called her yet. I still got her tracks. I need to get a hold of her. But, yeah, she wanted 200 more, and it's just a blessing, you know. It's the outcome. That's probably about the second day of my injury, and I got to meet a bunch of people at the doctor's office. I got to meet a bunch of people at the Dollar Tree. I made a new friend. Funny thing about it, I got a buddy that I really love to get on here. We call him Santa Brian. He looks like Santa Claus. He even plays Santa Claus and does pictures and stuff like that. He's going to be my new drill boy. He's going to drill out these crosses for me. I already bought him a drill press. He wore one out. He said, it don't work no more, Kelly. I said, well, let me go get it. And I went back to Harbor Freight, and I bought the extended warranty. And, he's back in business. So he got to watch me. I met him at the Dollar Tree, him and his fiance, and they both got to watch what God can do out of a wretch like me. You know, I'm nothing. I'm not much to look at. Like I said, I when I went to school, you know, I didn't graduate cum laude. I graduated cum laude. I mean, thank the Lordy. And went to college. I really didn't fit in there. So I worked at dock at Southeastern since I was 18 till I'm 44 now. So I've done that for over 25 years or more. And like I said, I don't have much gifts to give this world, but I do got this. I love Jesus. That's one thing I can give. I can give my love to Jesus. And I can point others to Christ, just like old Andrew, my hero. I love Andrew in the Bible. They really didn't talk about him much, but, you know, I just love his style. Hey, come here. I'm going to show you the Messiah. And that's all I got to do, man. Come with me, and I'm going to show you the Messiah. Don't follow me. Don't do as I do. Don't do what I say. Do what I do is what I'm trying to say. Okay. That's what I'm trying to say. But don't follow after man is really what I'm trying to say. You follow after the Lord. You know, you read your word. You pray every day. He's going to guide and direct you. Once you believe in Jesus and you put your faith and trust in Him, He's going to seal you with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's going to live with you, and He's going to guide you. You don't have to. It's almost it's not autopilot, but I'm going to tell you, if you're one of His and you sin, you're not going to get away with it. You're not going to get away with it. He's going to hold you to it. You're going to be held accountable. You're not going to be able to live with it. You're going to have to confess it to Him just to get it off your chest. Like, Lord, I failed you. Please forgive me. And guess what? He will forgive you. He will forgive you. So back to the story. Santa Brian got to see me hand out a bunch of tracks. He got to see what he's getting into. What else I got on the thing here? I had to write it down. I ain't gonna lie, cause I will go off on a rabbit hole. Like I said, I got me a future mission helper through the Kentucky Project, and I met a new sister in the ministry. And my kids, man, I'm gonna tell you this: my kids got to see the outcome of prayer. I'm gonna talk about this for a little while too. My kids got to see what a prayer does in one's life. You know, I'm not saying you're gonna ask God for everything on your shopping list and He's gonna give it to you. He's not a genie. You don't rub the lamp and He's gonna grant you three wishes. You know, it's got to be along His will, and you got to do something too. You know, it's not all on Him. He's gonna help you out. He's gonna give you the direction to go, like I said, through the Holy Spirit. But you know, you got to do some work. But I'm gonna tell you this: my kid got to see the outcome of prayer. My daughter was in a writing contest for her school. She's in fifth grade, and as a writing contest, she was very excited about this. She said, I want to win. And I was like, well, I'm going to tell you this right here. I said, you've done the work. You're a very good writer. I'm going to pray that God will allow you to win. And I'm not just going to pray. I got to go. Listen right here. This is what this injury allowed me to do. I don't get to go to church on Wednesdays. I'm usually in bed. I miss church on Wednesdays. I got to go to church that Wednesday, and I got to voice two prayer requests. One is that, you know, Lord's will go on with my arm. You know, maybe He'll heal me. Maybe something great will come out of it. But the second one was like, hey, I got a little 10-year-old daughter that wants to win the writing contest with her school. Pray for her. Pray that she wins. So, you know, I got to voice a prayer, and, man, blessed be the Lord. I got to give a praise report when I went to church that night. I got to tell them that my little daughter that we all prayed for won. My little Karis won her writing contest. And, I can't believe it. That day, since I was out, my wife had to go to work. She don't work really often through the week. She's a nurse. And since I work the way I work, and we set it up, I mean, the Lord allowed us to do this, that she don't work. She don't work. She only works just enough to keep her nursing license. And I get to bring everything home. That's why it's so detrimental to my pay that I wasn't working. And now my wife had to go to work. But some great things happening there, because I got to pick my daughters up. I got to take them to school. I got to pray over them. When I dropped them off, it was a great day, no fighting, no fussing. And when I picked them up, man, her eyes were wide open. She was so excited. She said, I won, Daddy, I won. It's such a blessing to see her excitement for winning her riding contest. It's just a great, great opportunity that a dad that usually don't get that opportunity, because I work night shift, and I'm usually asleep, or I used to have to lay down other places. You know, every two nights a week, I used to have to lay down in different locations. But now I get to come home every day. But being out for a week, I got to take my daughter to school, both of them. I got another one named Gemma. I ain't going to leave her out either. But I got to take them to school, and I got to pick them up, and I got to see the excitement the first time. I got to witness the excitement first. You know what I'm saying? So she was excited about winning the riding contest. My wife came home. The next day, we got a phone call from the school. Man, every time you get a phone call from the school, you always think of the worst thing. My heart stops beating. I'm just like, I'm scared. And thank God, this teacher, man, she knows. She's like, nothing's wrong with the babies. Nothing's wrong with you girls. I'm just letting you know first, because I know how scary it is. You get school calling, talking about your kids. I'm like, yeah. She's like, I'm so-and-so with Talbert. I got some good news. I think you already know, Karis won her writing contest. We took her picture today, and we're going to announce it last Friday. And she won a gift card, and she's going to go into the county writing competition as well. So it's going not just her school, now it's going to county and possibly state. So right now I'm praying that my daughter wins the county. And I ain't worried about the state. It's not there yet, but the county, I think it's going to be announced today. So I'm praying that she has the opportunity to tell her daddy that she won the county. So that'll be a double blessing, and we'll give God the glory for that as well. So we got that phone call, and that teacher told me this. This right here melted my heart. This melted my heart, and I hope it melted her too. She said, listen, I just want to tell you this, that Karis told me that she was smiling. She was so happy. She said, my daddy prayed for me to do this. My daddy prayed. And, God can do anything. And there's nothing too little. There's nothing too big that God don't have his love and his plan for. If it's part of his will, it's going to happen. You can count your blessings. You can bet the bank on it, is what I'm trying to say. So my daughter, she worked. I mean, this ain't something. She didn't just like, hey, I never read a book and I never tried to write anything, but I'm going to pray God makes me pass this writing test right here. I ain't going to do nothing. You're going to have to put some feet on them prayers, son. So you got to put some feet on them prayers. You can't just depend on God to do everything. You can. He can do anything. He can make somebody that's never written a paper pass a writing contest. But on this case, he helped my daughter, I think. He had his hand on her and gave her a special favor. I'm not going to lie. I think God gives us special favor and laid his hand on my little girl. So she was excited. I got to witness that. What else did I get to do? Okay, the teacher called. And the faith, that my faith got strengthened right there. And not only my faith, my daughter's faith. She got to witness what prayer can do. I got to witness what prayer can do and see the gratification here on this earth. I got to see the excitement in my daughter's eyes and my other daughter, Gemma. She got to see that too. And I'm so thankful that I got two girls. You know, they've always seen their daddy make these cross necklaces. And thousands upon thousands I put together. And it's not about me. Believe me, because, I'm a wretch. And it's only by God. If God wouldn't have saved me, I wouldn't be doing this. I'd be doing something else. I'd be probably belly up in a bar somewhere. Or, there's no telling what I've done. I wouldn't be sharing the gospel. I wouldn't be making gospel tracts and passing them out everywhere. But my daughters get to witness me do that. They get to witness me going to these stores and passing them out to everybody and seeing the excitement on their faces. The people that I pass them out to, and my daughters, man, I let my daughters do it too. They get excited about it as well. But they also see the bad things that I do as well. Like I said, I can't say it's all good. I still am human. I still let my emotions go sometimes, and I still have to ask forgiveness for my wife and my daughters, and most of all, my Lord. And the Lord's faithful to forgive me, and thank God that my wife and my daughters are as well. But they can see the change that God has done in my life. And I just pray that it sticks with them because, I love the Lord, and they get to see the love that I have for the Lord. They get to see the love that I have for others. And they can look for that in the husband. They're probably going to look at someone who's like their father to marry. And I hope they find someone better than me, to tell you the truth. That's one of my prayers, that my daughters will find godly men. I don't care what they look like. You understand? I don't care. A lot of people's like, they better be this, they better be that. My only My only hope is that they are lovers of the Lord, that they love God above all things. Because I'm going to tell you, if you love God more than yourself and everything else, the love that of God is going to overflow to others. So I know they're going to find husbands that's going to love them like Christ loved the church, that he died for it. So I know that's going to be a case. I'm putting my faith and trust in that, and you can't tell me any different. So, and others, I got an opportunity to speak about As You Go ministry at church. You know, my arm got hurt. I showed up for Wednesday night prayer meeting. Preacher came straight to me. He's like, I was going to ask you if you'd be willing to talk about your ministry, because I get a little bit from the church. They give me a little bit to help buy some of these supplies sometimes when I'm out. And so, yeah, man, of course, man, if I get to talk about the Lord, I'm going to talk. And I got to talk to the church about As You Go ministry and my love for sharing for others and how they can get involved. You know, God's going to provide the money. God's going to provide the money. The hardest thing is to provide the helping hands. You know, many hands make light work. Many hands make light work. It's tough for one person to take all the load onto himself. It's tough to be the one that goes out and makes all the material and puts it all together, then hands it all out. I'm going to tell you what, I get overwhelmed sometimes. And at one time, I had the youth of my church. They were putting them together, and that helped out a lot. But, you know, I think I wore them out, and they stopped doing it. So it's me again. It's me again, Margaret. But like I said, I got Santa Brian's who's coming in. Hopefully he'll drill some out for me. Anything helps, man. Anything. Drilling holes and crosses, putting the little O-rings on it, putting the necklaces together and putting them in a plastic baggie and staple them to a track. Anything. Anybody can do any of that. People give me money all the time. I don't never ask for it. I know the Lord knows when I have needs, when I'm getting close to being running out of stuff. It's a blessing that people do that, because I can pay for postage to send it out to everybody who wants things, who wants to start the ministry for themselves and give out the tracks that I make, which I'm going to tell you, they're beautiful tracks. Huh? They're easy to give out. I gave out a bunch of them to a lot of my friends. They're in Canada. They're in Florida. They're in Texas. They're in North Carolina, South Carolina. I got a bunch of people around that love the Lord and who wants to get involved. I got some in the great state of Ohio. So shout out to Ohio. You know who you are. So I got open opportunities there. And while I was at church the other night, on Friday, Sunday night, after I gave the As You Go ministry its due, and the Lord most of all, I got opportunities to go to a football game to pass tracks out, and the Christmas parade of Calhoun. But man, I tell you, I'm not gonna be able to do those. It was last night, the Christmas parade, and I had to work, so I didn't get to do the Christmas parade. Tonight is the Calhoun football game, and I'm not gonna be able to do that, but it's still good to be invited to do these things. And there's another invitation that I possibly get to do, and this is scary for me, but exciting at the same time. I may have the opportunity to go out for the 2022 Super Bowl, 2022 Super Bowl in Los Angeles, and pass out tracks and stuff like that, possibly doing a little bit of street speaking. So that's something that is great. And, you know, and being out for a long time and without money, it kind of puts ideas in your head too. Like, how can I make extra money? How can I do something that I love doing, but I can provide for my family as I do it? And, you know, I got a good idea, and a couple of them, but I'm going to try to pray for that, and I hope you do the same. Pray for this right here. One of them is just, you know, I've always loved woodworking. Always loved it. I just never have time to do it. I have the ability to do it. Don't have the time. Don't have the tools, really. So I had an idea of starting a little bitty side hustle of building outdoor furniture or indoor furniture, or little knickknacks, and selling them locally, or if they're light enough, selling them on eBay or whatnot. But yeah, that idea got in my head, And man, I got this great friend at Southeastern Freight Lines I talk to every night. He's my CB. I don't have a CB, but we talk on phones. He's my buddy. I talk to him every night. He's like, hey, man, I know you want to get into this. He said, I got these plans. So I even made hardwood stencils that you can use to cut all the stuff out. I got the hardware. I want you to build this chair. So he gave me an outdoor glider that he said he's got the plans for, all the hardware. He said, I ain't got the router that you can cut it out. So, man, this is something I've been praying about. And I believe God's opened up doors for that as well. And like I said, God, this dude right here, I've been buddies with him ever since middle school. And he's a close friend of mine. I love him. And like I said, he's always helping me out. He always listens to my ideas, and even if they're stupid, he'll chime in. He'll let you know if it ain't going to work. But he's kind of has confidence in this right here. So he's going to help me get started on that. I'm going to do it on my spare time. And I'd love to have something that I can start full time, you know, and bring my family into it. This is my dream. My dream is to have a business that I can bring my family into. My daughters, my wife, future son-in-laws, you know, to be able to help out and just, man, just a family thing. I think that'd be something awesome. You know, I've been in the trucking industry for 25, 26 years. You know, it's done me well. But I'm gonna tell you the truth, man. I feel like there's a movement in my soul to start being around my kids and my wife more. And I think God's gonna open the doors, and He's gonna honor that wish that I have and that prayer of being able to do this. And you know, it's not always about money. It's not. I make very well driving a truck, very well. I'm gonna tell you, if you want money and you know, you want to go see the places. I don't get to see them because it's tonight. Go get your CDLs, man. That's the easiest job you can have. And they're in need, very much need. But like I said, you know, I do this to provide for my family, and it does give me ability to go out and reach others. I love the people I work with. I love them. You know, I might not like the things I do, but I love who I do it for. And I love who I do it around. And like I said, these are my family. I've known them as long as I've been around them longer than my family, any of my family members. So they are a family. But I kind of feel that push, you know, to try to explore and try to it might take a long time. I'm not saying I'm quitting my job today or tomorrow or next year. It might take years for this dream can come to reality. But, you know, a dream starts when you first dream it. So it's something that I'm going to have to work at. I have no problem working at things. I kind of enjoy it. I don't like a lot of downtime because, like I said, depression comes in and I start thinking. And that's bad for me. Don't think. Just do. So, you know, let me see here. I'm about done with y'all. It's almost the hour mark. So, you know, I didn't really like trucking industry. I said that. I do feel the pull to move elsewhere, but I'm going to tell you another thing. You know, one thing about the woodworking deal, my grandfather was a carpenter. I grew up seeing my grandfather work in his wood shop, and that, I loved it, man. It just amazed me how my grandfather can take his block of wood and make it into something awful. I mean, special. I'm about to say it awful. Special. And it's just, I used to work in the wood shop with him. You know, I didn't know what I was doing. But he always give me a block of wood and get me one of those coping saws, and I just cut things out, stuff like that. It's just something that's it's wonderful. And like I said, it's just I love the fact that you can take some raw material and make it something beautiful. And that's one thing that I can see what Jesus does in people's lives. He takes raw materials, something that's not with any worth, and he puts his love and touch and his hands around. And he chips the bad things away, and he sands and molds and shapes. Then it becomes a beautiful thing. And that's what I want to do. I want to take things that don't look very attractive and make them beautiful, all right, like Jesus did with us. And one thing, you know, it's awesome that Mark 6:3, I'm going to leave y'all with this right here. I'm going to put a little scripture in this. And actually, I'm going to read it from the King James Version. So it's going to be, I'm not going to butcher the scripture, it's going to be straight out of the book. So it says in Mark 6:3, like I said, I'm going to leave y'all alone, and we'll do this again next time. I'll say, you know, Jesus was a pretty handy around the shop as well. He was a good carpenter. And this right here is some statements that backs this up in Mark 6:3. It says, "Is not the carpenter the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And are they?" And it says, "And they were offended." That's the verse, Mark 6:3, letting you know that Jesus really was a carpenter. And I think he was a great carpenter as well. And I know that he is a motor of hearts. He can transform anybody, allows them to be transformed. It's up to you, folks. It's up to you to accept that free gift, though. So I believe that's about all I got today. I gave you an hour's worth, and I hope it made sense. If it didn't, you know, like I said, I'm going to start getting some people on here. I think I can probably link people up with the Zoom calls. And, of course, I got to get the cord for that, for the computer. And one day I need to get a laptop because my podcast room is separate from the room that the computer's in. And I need a laptop right here. I'm not asking nobody to give me a laptop. I'm just saying I'm just going to have to kind of spurge on one pretty soon and get that where I can do the Zoom calls. And like I said, I can't do the over-the-phone calls on these right here. I can't get people to come over here. If you want to drive all the way to North Georgia, you're welcome to be on the Reachers podcast. And if you feel like you got something to share, you know, everybody's got a transformation story. I've probably told you mine a couple of times. I've heard some wonderful things. I listen to podcasts all the time. There's two of them I listen to. There's three of them I listen to all the time. One of them is the Beyond Belief podcast. Others, Outdoors, the Red-Blooded Outdoors, and the new Classroom with Jason Gradina. I probably messed your name up. I'm sorry. But I listen to those often, and I want to tell you, like I said, it's a blessing to me having those men in my life. I met a lot of people through Instagram, and I'm going to tell you what, I've got brothers that don't live nowhere near me that are closer to the brothers that do live next to me, okay? Like I said, the prophet, I'm going to mess it up, so I'm not going to say it. But Jesus said something in this like manner. A prophet has no, what did he say? A prophet has no, I can't remember. I'll look that up, and I'll tell you the next time, because I'm going to butcher it. So let me let you go here. I love you, and I'll be praying for you. Pray for me. Like I said, I have a dream of doing something that I think is going to be pretty awesome for my family. And if it's not of God, of course, I hope it does not come to be. If God wants me to drive a truck forever and ever, and that's his plan for me, so be it. You know, it's God's will, not mine. Jesus asked at the beginning, hey, if this cup can pass, let it pass. But if not, I'll drink it. So if this cup won't pass for me, I'll drink it. And I'll be gladly to drink it. But I love y'all, and we'll see you next time. See you.